Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, tonight on The Phil Hendry Show, the world's greatest liars. Special guest, Jenny Craig. Jenny Craig of the Diet Program. And we do welcome Jenny Craig into our studio. Jenny, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Phil. I'm peppy and I'm perky and full of life. I've got a great figure.
Now, you're a real lying scumbag. You actually claim you're going to help Kirstie Alley lose weight, aren't you?
That's right, Phil. And, of course, as you know, I probably won't be any more successful at helping her lose weight than I was at helping Whoopi Goldberg. But I saw a opportunity, I think, in getting Kirstie signed up to our program. And once she tastes the food, of course.
Well, I understand it's unedible.
It really is. It's dehydrated patties. It's turkey breasts that are literally, they're almost like pieces of styrofoam. You know, so it's really, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, now let me ask you this. Since you are such a lion sack, what's going to happen when people see that she's still large and your Jenny Craig meat patties or whatever it is? What do you call that?
A deal. I forget. You'll have to check with the publicist. I'm not really involved in it. Let me know.
Well, what are you going to do when she's still as big as a rhinoceros? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, we anticipate that she's probably going to lose weight anyway because push comes to shove, she'll probably get back on Coke. You know, and...
Okay. Well, that's good. So, in other words, you're just hoping that she gets back on cocaine and credits you with losing the weight.
Absolutely. Also, Phil, I want to mention we do have a new deluxe shoe leather meal. Kirstie is going to pretend to like that one while taking large amounts of cocaine. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, there's also bulimia, too. And
well, isn't that... But, well, you being a liar, it wouldn't matter to you, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Not at all.
How do you stay so seemingly slender?
Well, what they do, Phil, is they Photoshop my head onto the body, I think, of Helen Mirren.
All right, well, that's great.
And also, I'm addicted to methamphetamines, which I'm able to boil out of Sudafed.
All right, Jenny Craig, ladies and gentlemen, a real liar. What a liar she is. Jenny Craig on the world's greatest liars. And welcome to our show here, 1-800-449-8686. So that's good. She can get back on coke, meth, crack, whatever it is. But I'll tell you one thing, Jenny. You're taking a big chance, baby, because if somebody photographs her shoving a burrito supreme with the heel of her hand into her kisser while sitting in an SUV again, while she's on your diet. Of course, if she slenders down with the Jenny Craig Deal-A-Meal or Meal-A-Deal or Meals on Wheels, you know what I'm saying? And even though she's not, like, doing it right, I mean, I don't. Do you know anybody that's been on Jenny Craig? I mean, her diet, bud. Quit laughing. Don't be laughing this early. You know,
you say it, baby.
I know what I said. Okay, so I said, do you know anybody that's been on Jenny Craig? Jackass. I mean, do you know anybody that's been on her freaking diet? I don't. Weight Watchers, I know a few people. I was on Weight Watchers myself. Atkins, I know a few people. And, of course, Cortislim is the one that we recommend. Now, if Jenny Craig, or what's her name? Kirstie Alley had gone on Cortislim, now you're talking about knocking it out of the ballpark. She'd be down to her fighting weight within months, within just a couple of months. She'd be slender, she'd be slim, she'd be all ready to rock and roll for whatever it is she wants to do. But no, she's going to go that Jenny Craig route. Well, I could bet you it probably works for some people. Some people actually like those diet meals. Now, my son, he got on a liquid diet thing. The milkshakes. And then there's, of course, the what other kind of diets? You know, you eat the Power Bar diet. And then there's a diet where you can... I don't know. You know, I bet you there's a diet for just about anything that you like. You can eat a whole bunch of it and still lose weight. The Subway diet. Today I was stopped. I stopped off at McDonald's and got 2 quarter pounders with cheese, a big box of fries, and a large Diet Coke. And I'm still losing weight, right?
Maybe you got cancer.
I don't have cancer. I got a perfectly fine, healthy diet, a healthy appetite. But I maintain today, as I maintained a year ago, that I could do a commercial for McDonald's And I could lose 80 pounds eating nothing but McDonald's food, the same way that kid did with that Subway thing. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, and all I do is eat at McDonald's, and look at me. 195 pounds, and I'm getting into the ring next week with, you know, whoever.
Why didn't you get a double quarter pounder? Why didn't you get two single quarter pounders?
I don't understand.
Why didn't you just get two singles instead of a double?
Because I don't want all that bread. Yeah, I know. Well, if you flunk math, it's a little rough.
Then you use this as a seafood diet.
Yeah, I know that one, man. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686.
Can I do the punchline?
Go ahead.
You see food, then you eat it.
Ha 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 ha. God. Coming up tonight at 8, we got Margaret Gray. She'll be talking about how it's time to draw the line in the sand on all of this anti-Christmas stuff that's going on. You can't sing songs. You can't have a Christmas tree in the middle of the town square. You can't have anything religious at all. It's the season, you know, this is the end of the line for Christmas, baby. She's going to be talking about that. And Steve Bozell coming up at 9 o'clock tonight will be talking with us about a lawsuit, yet another Steve Bozell lawsuit, this time against his next-door neighbor Roy Hutchins, and a practical joke that has backfired. 1-800-449-8686 tomorrow. Tomorrow night it'll be our all-request show, and that will be only via telephone. And then we're going to have, in just a few minutes, an email request for you guys. And also our Best of CD available online. The Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD for 2004. It's called Fahrenheit 711. If you go to www.philhendryshow.com, you can pick that baby up there. So that's all I had tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. This hour as well, we'll have Father James McQuarters, who's been in Africa doing some missionary work, and he'll be telling us how that's coming along here in this festive season. And Dr. Jim Sadler, who's better, Jesus or Santa? All ahead on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Margaret Gray coming up in a few minutes on the Christmas holidays, and she's had it, man, with this whole no Christmas caroling and no Christmas tree thing, this whole, you know, separation of church and state thing. She's not digging it. And Steve Bozell later on tonight with another lawsuit against neighbor Roy Hutchins, this one having to do with a practical stunt, a practical joke gone terribly awry. It's time now for our By Request flashback, this one from Macon in Brooklyn, New York, who writes, "Hey Phil, I'd love to hear that that Pastor Rennick bit where he dresses up as the baby Jesus in a diaper and then springs a visible blank when a fine young lady in his congregation passes by the manger. He makes goo-goo baby noises and admits to having stabbed somebody at one point. It's my favorite Phil bit of all time. Macon in Brooklyn, New York. Here it is, brother. It's Pastor William Rennick in a diaper in the manger."
My comment is for Pastor Rennick. I think he is perverted. Anybody that is that old would lay in a manger with a diaper on, there's something got to be mentally wrong with it.
What's wrong with trying to raise money for the church?
Well, there's other ways than doing that.
I'm a man of the cloth.
Well, I'm a Pentecost. You wouldn't catch me doing something like
that. That's fine. You if you don't want to raise no money, you can call yourself a Christian. I am a Christian.
I raise money.
I live
for my
like
church,
one.
But I sure don't expose myself like that.
You know my parishioners up there donation when I started crying like a sweet baby Jesus. I'm laying there going,
Yeah, I think money, you get your jollies off that
way. Well, I'll tell you what. That's the living example of Jesus.
No.
You know something, sister? You are judgmental. And that is a sin of pride. Because you think you're better than everybody else.
No, sir, I don't.
Well, that's what you sound.
No.
I think
that you are perverted, though, doing something like that. Not right.
Why is that perverted sounding like a baby? I'm playing the part of the baby Jesus.
Well, first of all, you're 53 years old laying there playing the part of the baby Jesus.
So what?
That's a man laying in a manger with a diaper on, getting his rocks off on something like that.
Sister, what do you mean I'm getting my rocks off?
Oh, you know exactly.
You got a when that girl walked by.
That's right.
I didn't. That was a normal I made my peace with God about that. I'm not ashamed of that at all.
And as far as you taking her, that's not right either.
Ruin who? That old lady come
out. That lady's
Vivian Collin come. I had sex with her 15 years ago. I do not deny that. I made my peace with Jesus about that. Now she wants to get me fired with the Pentecostal Board of Elders. I said, you head on. I'll let everybody know you. I had you grunting like a pig once.
Well, just
Jesus, what a sick animal you are.
I may be.
That is right. That is right.
You walk by that manger and you see me laying in there going, you're not going to drop money in.
I think the church needs to pray for you.
You're not
going to
drop money in?
I think the church needs to pray for
you.
We are
finally
going to
fix the tar on top of the steeple because I laid in the manger with a diaper on.
There he is, Pastor William Renick. In a diaper. God, I'd forgotten all about that one. We got that request just a few days ago, and I said to Mark, can we dig that one up? Because that baby is about, if you'll pardon the expression, baby. That thing is about 3 years old, I think. The Pastor William Renick, who, frankly, I think Pastor Renick actually came to life sometime. Nah, he's been around since Atlanta. What am I talking about? The first time I ever did that character is down in Atlanta. 1-800-449-WHAT?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, David.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of complaints lately. Look, Phil, I don't know.
You know, what is this about now, man? Because I'm just getting into the show.
I got another show monitor that I want to hook you up to. And what I want to do is...
What do you mean? Why?
Because we're getting people complaining about you, going on about your wife and your private life. Get back to the funny stuff and quit talking about you and Maria and this...
I ain't talked about that in 2 days.
I don't care. Bud, you got it?
Yeah, right here, Mr. Hall. It's a Christmas music show monitor.
What Christmas music show monitor?
That's what we're going to do. Every time you're boring, Christmas music will start to play. All right, so...
Do you realize how humiliating this is for me?
Doesn't matter. Hook him up, bud.
Give me your arm.
Grab my arm.
Give it to me.
Why do I got to go through that?
Look, Phil, it's for your own good, okay? Every time you suck, Christmas music will begin to play by Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, Jesus, not that.
Why, you blasphemous bastard. Did you just say, oh, Jesus, not that?
Well, you know what I mean.
This is Christmas. Quit talking like that. Now, here's what I want you to do. Just do your show normally, as you usually do, and then, when you suck, you'll hear some Christmas music from Mannheim Steamroller, and there isn't much more deadly, not too many things more disgusting than listening to that band every year. For the only reason why they exist, as you know, is to be played on Rush Limbaugh's show.
Yeah.
Now, give me your arm.
Don't you pull my arm.
Roll up your sleeve.
Okay.
Very nice tattoo.
That's none of your business.
All right.
Got him hooked up?
Almost.
All right, so I'll just test it out here for you. You hear that?
Yeah, I hear that.
Okay, you'll hear that when your show starts to slip. But it beats the heart monitor thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you know? Can I turn it off now?
Go ahead.
I'll be running it. I'm going to switch over here.
All right, bud. You got switch bus B3.
Right. Roger.
All right. Go to sector 4. Switch on the afterburners.
Roger.
Will you guys just turn it on?
All right, go ahead. Do your show.
Hi, everybody. It's Phil Henry, and tonight we're going to...
Yeah, you suck.
We'll say something.
Tonight on the show, we're going to have on Father James McQuarters, who's going to tell us...
Nothing's working, man.
Yeah, you better just go back to drawing board.
Get that thing off of me.
Look, I want to tell you something. Is there anything we can do about Mannheim Steamroller? I liked her in that, what was it called, L.A. Law or something? But
we're talking about who?
Mannheim Steamroller, you know that broad?
You mean Cameron
Mamory?
I mean Mamory?
What were you doing on the phone?
Let me go in there.
Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Henry, and welcome to the Phil Henry Show. And I guess it sucks because Christmas music's playing right now.
Yeah, it's boring.
Well, just something to remember.
Thanks a lot, man, for bringing another down moment into my life. As if I ain't had enough lately, I got to listen to you guys.
What are you, Porkland Pig?
Who's Porkland Pig, you dumbass? Turn it off, man, because I swear to God, someone's going to die. Slow and horrible. Blake Dunst is on tonight, and he's going to guess your weight. And here's how Blake Dunst will guess your weight tonight. Rather than put you in a chair and listen to how much it squeaks, you'll sit on Santa Claus's lap, and if he screams, well, you're too fat. That's coming up tonight on the Phil Henry Show, Blake Dunst. And I mentioned we also have Dr. Jim Sadler with Jesus or Santa, who's better? And joining us now from his home in Culver City, California, of course, is Dr. Jim Sadler to talk a little bit about this. I've always been curious about the comparisons between Jesus and Santa Claus, vis-a-vis Christians who sell it to their kids as if Jesus was, you know, Santa Claus, is Jesus is an old man or Jesus was Santa Claus a young man. You ever heard that?
I've heard some of those comments, Phil, but our research is a little bit more, I think, focused. You owe me $5. Our research is a little bit more focused in that...
What are you doing?
I was just at it. They're just hitting the bucket of balls. Our research is a little bit more focused. What we did was we took a look at Jesus and we took a look at Santa Claus and we drew a comparison. Who's better, Jesus or Santa Claus? And we came to the conclusion, Phil, that Santa Claus is better, and here's why. Santa Claus, did you ever hear about Santa he ain't going to send you to hell, right? Oh, you shanked it. He's not going to send you to...
Hold on for a minute. If you're going to golf or...
No, I got a few dollars. Is Santa going to send you to hell? No. Did you ever hear about a war being fought on the account of Santa Claus? No. And finally, he might give you a lump of coal, but he isn't going to make you burn in a pit of fire forever. And the other thing is that Santa gives you stuff. Jesus, you pray to him. God, that's about 350 years.
Can we talk about this?
Sorry. When you pray to Jesus, you might get something, but sometimes you don't. When you pray to Santa, you always get it. Shanked it.
Okay, so therefore...
So therefore, Santa Claus is better. And he's got a big white beard. Oh, you duffed that. Mulligan.
Will you get out of here with the golf talk and listen? Do you...
You're getting mad at me for it just because they put you on the show monitor.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. And nobody wants to pay any attention to me.
Your show's boring.
Yeah.
Duffed it. So I...
These guys... Who in hell suggested this guy come on the show as a guest? Yes, sir.
Oh, one other thing. Santa never got himself nailed up on a cross. Jesus did. So, you know, what's that about? I mean, you're going to say... Okay, now I'll give you $20 on that one.
Thanks a lot. Who's better, Jesus or Santa? Dr. Jim Sadler. Am I getting a flu shot tonight?
Supposed to.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Coming February 5th, Phil Henry will be in Tucson, Arizona at a CD signing. That's the only CD signing that we have scheduled so far.
So far, but it's not going to be the only one.
I know. But you know, I think it's kind of cool. We're going to be our first CD signing that we're announcing is in Tucson. Out of sight. All right. And also, of course, our Best Of CD available online and over the phone, 877-616-7445. We are also working on a way of getting about 1,000 of them over to our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. We'll see how well that works out. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Be right back. Margaret Gray tonight.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Margaret Gray coming up tonight. And she will be talking in depth about how the time has come for all Americans to join together who are tired of Christmas being slowly but surely excluded from the public arena, whether it be a Christmas carol sung in a public school or a Christmas tree in the main square of town. She says it's time for us to not let these secularists or whatever it is she calls them, run our lives. And she'll be talking about that. And then later on, Steve Bozell, the lawsuit, apparently he went up to someone who he thought was a friend of his in a Santa Claus suit and reached between their legs. He thought it was a guy. And I don't know, something about lifted him off the ground, and there's a whole problem. I got this email here. It says, "Hi, Phil, I'm hoping you could do something for me. I want to ask my girlfriend to marry me and was wondering if you would. I guess ask her for me on the air." I guess I ought to read that better, huh, bud?
Yeah.
"Hi, Phil, I'm hoping you could do something for me, please. I want to ask my girlfriend to marry me and was wondering if you would, I guess, ask her for me on air. Her name is Sonia. I am Andy. If you could do this for me, perhaps tonight, that'd be great. Also, I was wondering whether you have ever considered putting your Best Of CD online for download." Yeah, that's right, Andy. What I want to do is, while trying to raise money for charity, just go ahead and put my Best Of CD online and let people download it, and that way I just steal money from the charity. Sonia, I wouldn't marry this guy. Anyway, he says, "I live in the UK, and I have called my friend's place to see if they can send me a copy, and they aren't able to do international shipping, so I thought if you had it online, then I'd be able to get it. If you could do the proposal for me, that'd be great. I'll let you know what her answer was." Okay, anyway, Sonia, Andy wants you to marry him. I would recommend against it because I think he's a thief and a liar. Thank you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm just joking. I'm sure the guy, he doesn't have any ill intent. I'm sure he wants to give the money to my friend's place, but the way that the letter was worded, you know, I do get a lot of these people saying, "Hey, how come this costs and how come that costs? Hey, I got an email today from a guy, how come it costs money to, like, view the video and stuff?" And my response is simply this: I don't work for free, do you? Last I checked, you guys get, you're getting paychecks too. I mean, it's a free thing, only goes so far. You know, flip on a radio show there, it's free. The rest of this stuff, you gotta pay. Now, I know the other guys give their stuff away, that's because their shows suck. But download the whole thing for $20, I guess that'd be a good idea. In other words, we could let you download the CD, but we gotta find a way to get the money over to the charity, and I don't know, you know, the guys upstairs, it drives them crazy. How are they gonna move the money from there to there and everything? The very first time we ever started raising money for my friend's place, I was doing it locally here at KFI, and they literally took the money, the KFI personnel, had the money in like a shoebox. I mean, we had these people, and I'll never forget Stella carrying the stuff with her for the whole weekend. I don't know, thousands of dollars. And I remember saying to her, "What if you get mugged? What if somebody, like, what if I'm tempted to mug you? In other words, I don't care anymore about the charity, and I want to steal my own money." So that's when we decided to get it a little bit heavier. All right, so no, we're not going to put anything up for free, but we may try and let you download the thing. That's not a bad thought. But we'll just have to wait and see, because I'm frankly not, you know, I hate people, but we're not doing anything for free around here. I don't know about anybody else. I don't do nothing for free. I mean, I got a living to make. See, when I get my stuff, some guy emails me today. He says, I could go over to Kaza or Kwanzaa or Kazakhstan. What's that website? Kuchu?
Kaza.
Kaza. I could just go over and get it there. Well, be my guest, man. Go over and get it there. Or go over to these websites that are, you know, pirating my stuff if you want. We got high-quality stuff. I can't do anything about it if a guy's going to download my stuff and send it all over the planet. What am I going to do? All I'm saying is we make the stuff available on our website for a fee because it's not free. The first time it's free, just like any good drug habit, just like any good drug that you've done. You generally get your first hit for free. A friend maybe turns you on, an older friend, an older gentleman in an alley. But the rest of it, you got to pay. And the same thing with the material from our show. We do it on the air, then we put it on a website, then you got to pay for it. So these days of free this and free that, it's done, baby. It's all over. Everything costs, man. Everything costs. I'm living my life right now, years off my life, with the things that I'm having to deal with. I can see, as I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, a man growing old before his time. You know, life happens. On your way to doing other crap, life happens. Just like the stuff I was telling you about Maria, you know, me and Maria. So what? Oh, excuse me, we had a little marital difficulty. Wow, that's a real shock and a half, right? Everybody reports it, especially around here, you know, locally where I live and in the community and in town. Everyone reports it like I've just come down with beriberi. Like I got the rickets and I got the scurvy and General Bly is going to run me through.
General Bly?
Don't worry about it. You know, so we got a little bit of a rough sailing there, and that's just the way it goes. I talked to the mayor of my street today with his lovely wife, Carol. I said, hey, mayor, you know, this is the way it is. He goes, are you kidding me, man? I've been married 9 million years. We have a fight once a year where we threaten each other with death. I said, do you love her? He says, like you wouldn't believe. He said, don't worry about it. I said, thank you. And thank you very much for the Pop-Tarts. He said, you're welcome. It's the least we can do. You got any? Do you have any food up there? Do you got any butter to spread on it? I said, I don't have anything. Tomorrow night, the Phil Hendry Show will be all request. So check out that. And make sure that you're calling in for that at 1-800-449-8686. It'll be all request, and we've got a system set up by which we can get to those requests, if we can, as rapidly as we can. Now, if you're requesting something from 1846, back when I had hair, I don't even know if we're going to be able to get to all of this stuff. I mean, there was a time when I had a little bit of hair on my head, and that made pre-hair.
All right, let me make a note of that. When you were only stuff when you're bald.
Not only stuff when I'm bald, but I'm saying back when I was in Miami, I had a little bit of hair left, and we may not have a lot of the Miami stuff.
All right, I'm making a note. Only bald material.
Right. Only stuff after President Carter, okay, if you don't mind. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Blake Dunst is coming up along with Father James McQuarters from Africa. I think we've got him on the line on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Father James McQuarters, forgive me, I think we have Father James, Father McQuarters on the line now from... where are you right now, Father? It sounds like you're near a stream.
I'm actually in Botswana. I'm in a place called... Beaverville, which was originally a place of respite for the Jesuit missionaries who first traversed these parts of the world. It's quite a beautiful place. And I'm here with a number of the local natives that I've been working with.
Now, these are what do you mean natives? Are these are, you know, people in Africa are civilized people for the most part.
That is true, but they're still in the outlying areas. Some of the bush people who do not adhere to Western Christian faith. And so I taught them the best way I know how to sing a traditional Christmas carol, and we'd like to regale you with that if we could here, Phil, from the rapid raging waters near of Mumbuhunanda Creek, which is near the town of Beaverville, as I said to you. And,
well, I don't hear. They're very quiet guys.
Well, they're all sitting here, and they've got on their little Santa hats.
What do you mean these are natives? Are these bush people? Are they...
Traditional nomadic people, yes. Hunter-gatherers, if you will.
Hunter-gatherers, okay.
Are you boys ready? A one, and a two, and a let's hear it. Oh, wait, hold on for a minute, Phil. Gotta get my... I'm using a ghetto blaster, and...
Yeah, that's fine.
I've got the music here. Are you boys ready? One, two, and a one, two. Hold on. The guy on the end's flatting, Phil.
What do you mean he's flatting?
I don't like... Hold on for a minute. Look, you. I told him he was flattened out. So
what do you mean flattening out? Dude, I can't understand anything they're saying, man.
You mean you can't understand? I work with the boys. I work with the lads. I think they're doing a good job. Well, hold on. All right, ready?
You know, you're standing pretty close to that river. I hope nobody falls in.
I thought it's a very refreshing brook. I'd like you to take a dip in there later on. All right, boys. And a one, and a two, and hit it. Read the lyrics, boy. Hold on, kill it already. God. The third from the end there, you. Stephen. Now look, the words are do you do.
How are we, can I interrupt?
Yes.
How are we supposed to understand?
Understand what?
The song, man, if they're singing it in freaking African. Your stream went away.
I just turned it back on. It's kind of a faucet.
Yeah, it's good.
Jam it up.
So how are we supposed to understand, man?
Well, look, I'm teaching them the song. What do you want? You want me to teach them English, too? Sweet, feathery, priceless Jesus. I'm trying to do the very best that I can. Sorry, I had a little doers and water this morning.
Good.
A one, and a two, and a one, two, three. That's got it. I want to use... hold on, Phil. I want to just move the ghetto blaster a little bit closer to the creek. And so I can...
Well, that's one way of getting rid of them. In fact, that's one way of getting rid of a lot of guys standing next to a creek. Have them step into it with an electrical device.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Phil. Down back in the line.
He's back? Yes, Father, you okay, man?
I'm fine, Phil. Hold on for a minute. Whew! Boy, that really hurt.
Don't go stepping in the freaking creek with a ghetto blaster.
All right, I'm ready now. A one, and a two, and a one, two, three, and here we go.
Yeah, okay. Cats are doing fa-la-la-la-la, man. Since when are these guys going out of Africa and still doing missionary work? Somebody ought to come up here and do a little missionary work if you want my honest appraisal of the situation, which I'm sure you don't. Going down to Africa. You know what, man? The day, it's going to be a beautiful day when Africans start coming up here and doing missionary work here. You imagine some guy knocking on your door from, like, the guys from some animist tribe in Zimbabwe. Yes, I'd like to come into your home and explain to you how you're all messed up. Sure, man. Yeah, I'm ready to hear it, dude, because I've been hanging around here with these icons hanging off the wall and the guy with the beard and everything. Yeah, that's it's no good. It's no good. See? So, you know, they'll be bringing up these. That's part of Bush's plan for Africa, man. We're going to send them bread. They're going to send us missionaries for a change. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Tonight we have Margaret Gray. We also have the... inimitable Steve Bozell, who's got another lawsuit that he's going to be filing. This one on, I guess, against his next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins, for, I guess, he thought Roy was in a Santa suit and was actually a chick, and he walked up and grabbed her between the legs. The makers of Sudafed are offering a new version of the cold and allergy medicine without an ingredient often used to produce the illegal and highly addictive drug methamphetamine. Well, thanks a lot. Just as soon as I find out that methamphetamine's in there, you guys are going to pull it off the shelf. Pseudoephedrine will be replaced with another substance in the new product called Sudafed PE. How many of you knew that Sudafed could be used to synthesize methamphetamine? There used to be a time when the old inhalers, you could roll up the cotton ball in the bottom of them and eat it. It was Benzedrine. And then, of course, they made cocaine with Coca-Cola. And why weren't we allowed, alive back in those days, or allowed back in those days? Anyway, the company, Erica Johnson, is a spokesman for Pfizer, said they will continue to offer the old Sudafed 2. Thank God. Doesn't mean you grind up and smoke it, bud.
But that's what I was going to say. How do you get it out?
Don't worry about it. How do you get it out? I bet you the only people who knew about this were all of our listeners in Bakersfield. I'm kidding around. I'm not saying that there's any white trash up there. There may be very deep pockets of it up there. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, in many states, pharmacists keep Sudafed and other cold medicines used to make meth behind the counter. Not in California, they don't. Oklahoma requires that such medications be distributed by a pharmacist, a step also being considered in Indiana and other states hit hard by the drug epidemic. I don't know if you guys were around when Benadryl was a prescription-only drug. It was a prescription-only drug at one time. And Benadryl, I discovered years ago when I had an allergic reaction to a Burger King BK fish sandwich. Now, I ain't putting down Burger King. I ain't saying it's your fault. But sometimes fish can do stuff to you. And it's also true, the younger you are, man, the more susceptible you are to a lot of stuff. And the older you get, you've, like, been through it all, so you don't really get as sick as you used to. And when I was in my 20s, I got the measles when I was in 20, when I was in my 20s. I mean, I had the measles when I was a kid, and I got the German measles again. And anyway, I'm living out in Orlando, Florida, and my girlfriend one night she was cutting my hair or something, and she goes, "You got a lot of red spots and stuff on you." And I go, "I've been kind of itching, but I just thought it was the proximity of you." "I'm just kidding, dear." Whack. "No, I'm itching." I realized I'd broken out in hives. I said, "I don't know why the hell I got hives all over my body." She said, "Well, what did you eat today?" I go, "I had a Burger King fish fillet or something." And she goes, "That'll probably do it, man. It's fish." So I got out of the doctor at the emergency room because it's the middle of a Saturday night, right? Remember those great days when you go to the emergency room because you didn't have enough bread, like, to call up your doctor and, like, he'd come over or something? You're poor, man. So you're sitting there with every other gunshot wound, sitting there with every other bar fight, and the guy got me in there, and he gave me a couple of shots in the hip of Benadryl. Man, was it good. I'm kidding around, kids. I'm just, but actually it was sort of uplifting. The guy says, "This is Benadryl, Mr. Henry, and this should chill out the whole hive situation, because, you see, what's happened is there's an antihistamine. You got histamines going on. So I guess I need antihistamines." "Right. Histamines that are against the histamine. Yeah, antihistamines." I said, "Cool, do it, man." Boom, boom, I went flying out of there. That was my introduction to Benadryl. And then years later, I see, "Now Benadryl over the counter." And I'm going, "Wow, I'm going to go get that stuff." I went. I took a whole box load of the stuff, and nothing happened. I realized somewhere between that day and the day that they put it on the you know, like, over-the-counter stuff, they watered it down a little bit. They also use it for sleeping problems, Benadryl, marketed under the name Unisom. I'm just talking drugs, man, because this is the drug time of year, and I am not a drug user, and I do not encourage it. It will destroy lives, but it'll cure your cold. What do you want me to tell you? Drugs will destroy your life, but sometimes it helps schizophrenics. Drugs can kill you, but they can cure some forms of psychosis. Don't forget our gift shop on our website. And coming up, Margaret Gray on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray is a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist who joins us from her home in Santa Monica, California, because we're talking tonight about the separation of church and state, getting to the point now where Christmas music, Christmas trees, anything having to do with a religious overtone to the holiday, Margaret, correct, is just eliminated.
Absolutely. And the thing that we're asking for really is for the Federal Communications Commission. I think it starts in your business. We really need a 2-week period beginning, I think, Christmas Day, where we can have religious programming that secular broadcasters such as yourself, and I have nothing against you, Phil, but you're given a little time off. We are really tired of secular broadcasts that mock and talk religion. We are.
But I'm a satirist.
I really don't care what you call yourself. We're asking for more religious programming. We are...
Who?
The American people, Phil. Christmas is to be celebrated. Let me tell you what's at the bottom of this.
Because you were telling me there's a frustration building up. I mean, you're in touch with people the same way I am. And there's a frustration that is building up...
Phil, let me tell you what's at the very heart and soul of this. Christmas is to be celebrated, and I am getting sick and tired. And there are a lot of us out there being told when we can and cannot sing Christmas music. I think there are a lot of people who feel the same way I do. We are a little bit sick and we're a little bit tired of being told we can't have a perfectly good Christmas music in our schools. We can't have a Christmas...
All right, but the argument is...
No, but hold on. That we can't have a Christmas celebration in our city squares. That we can't carol. And I'll tell you who the people are that are at the very heart and soul of this. These, and forgive my language, these bastards who call themselves secularists, who call themselves people, oh, I don't believe in mingling church and state. Phil, I have been a Christian since my very early years. I've come out to California. I've worked in the entertainment business, but I've never lost my religious sensibility and my knowledge that this country was built. And you have these people that really can only be described as really just sons of bitches, if I can use that word.
And it, well, I know you feel very strongly.
I feel very strongly that these SOBs are keeping the holiday spirit away from us. You know, I've heard the arguments, and I've heard the arguments. I've heard people say, well, they're offended by the Christmas music. Well, you have to be pretty, you know, you really got to be a low kind of human being to be offended by Christmas music.
Well, let me just jump in. Put the shoe on the other foot.
You really have to be a low human being to say, oh, I don't want my children singing those Christmas songs. Do you know what kind of bastard, and I feel like the words fail me. You have to be to say I don't...
Well, hold on. Let me just put the shoe on the other foot for a moment, all right? Let's say you're a Christian, but the predominant culture in America is not Christian, it's Jewish. And every year that we're celebrating all over the place, Rosh Hashanah, Passover, and all of that, and the kids in school are singing all kinds of Jewish music, and there's no Christmas lights, it's just all Jewish religious decoration, and even though you send your kid off to school, and he's a Christian, and he wants to have Christmas at home, and but when he goes to school, he has to sing all these Jewish songs, and...
Well, Phil, I know the arguments.
Well, hold on, and let's say you walk into a courthouse, and there is a, you know, a Star of David there, and there's some dude that wants to have inscriptions from the Torah there in that courthouse, and you're a Christian, you walk in there, do you think you're going to get... do you feel that you would get justice in a place like that? I mean, you might be getting justice in a place like that, but would you feel that...
You know something, I think you're very intelligent, Phil, and you know how to turn a phrase, but you're really missing the point. We can't even pray in school anymore, let alone sing a lousy Christmas song, because of this, these individuals who remind me of... I really have to say it, they remind me of what comes out of a dog at the other end. That's as kind a way as I can put it.
And but we're only talking about public schools.
But that's just it. If the child's parents can't afford a private school, then that child is deprived of a holiday experience in his school.
But he can have it at home. It's not a public school's job to teach kids about Christmas. They can have comparative religious training where you study religions, but it isn't a school's job to teach kids about Christmas trees and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's to teach them about the secular world because it's a public school, and the religious training has got to be gotten elsewhere.
You know, you make the mistake you're making. You keep making the mistake, and you keep making the mistake. You're going against what people in their hearts feel. People are getting sick and tired of these insufferable pieces of just crap. Insufferable pieces of crap telling us what we can or can't do. They don't like Christmas trees. They're suing. And it's not just the schools, where once the town square was a festive place where you could enjoy the lights and the decorations of the season. They have been stripped bare by a minority of people. A minority, Phil.
Well, what do you mean by a minority?
You know very well what I'm saying. The people that have gone to court to strip religious images from public places and religious holiday songs from schools are nothing more than pieces of dog excrement. And they're a tiny fragment of the population. They are a handful.
Well, that's what you don't understand. In America, while majority of votes count in elections and a majority of votes count in ballot measures and so on, when it comes to the Constitution, it doesn't matter. whether it's a majority or a minority. What only matters is whether something is constitutional or whether it's not constitutional to use public lands and funds to promote religion. Religion is not a business of the government, and government is not in the business of religion.
Oh, Mike, and what is that supposed to mean?
It means the government is not run according to the whims of Christians, Jews, or anybody else, but by the will of all people coupled with constitutionality. Okay?
Are you an atheist?
No, I'm not an atheist.
Well, I find that really hard to believe because...
All right, hold on. I'll give our phone number out. And we'll let people jump in.
But I want to tell you something. I've been a lifetime Christian, and I do believe in my religion. And I'm getting tired of being pushed around by these individuals that can only be described as the illegitimate offspring of whores. And I'm sorry, but that's what I think they are. The illegitimate offspring of whores. Pieces of dung that have infiltrated our lives. Long enough.
It's pretty. Are you taking a bath?
I'm actually soaking, yeah. I just got off an airplane, Phil, about an hour ago.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Margaret Gray about this separation of church and state to the point where there's no Christmas trees in public places, there's no singing of songs. And you say there is a huge backlash going on out there.
Absolutely, Phil. The American people... most of whom are Christian, are sick and tired of having their children coming home from school and saying, Mommy, I couldn't sing Silent Night because some motherless whore told me that...
Is the child talking that?
No, I'm saying that. I'm saying that any woman who tells a child in a school, you may not sing a Christmas song, you may not put up Christmas decorations, that motherless spawn of a prostitute. And I'm sorry, Phil.
Well, some of the things you're saying here are pretty strong in characterizing...
Well, I feel strongly, as do a lot of people. But I think these motherless bastards who won't let us celebrate and...
Why are you so angry?
I'm angry because it's the middle of the Christmas season. I drive down the streets of Los Angeles, where we live, and I don't see any Christmas trees. I don't see any manger scenes in public squares. No. Why? Because of the motherless whores that won't let us put them there. And I'm sorry, Phil. That's why I'm soaking. I am literally just wound up.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on what she thinks is an increasing backlash that is going to be developing over the... inability of people who want to put up religious symbols in public places at Christmas time. She's saying people have had enough. They want to hear Christmas music. They want to see the manger scenes. They want to see the religious things. And she has characterized some of these people in a very strong way. Now, she's calling herself a Christian. I try to explain to her. I don't agree with her. I understand what separation of church and state is. I clearly understand it. But she calls the people that are not allowing manger scenes and Christmas trees and the singing of Christmas carols in schools, quote, motherless whores and dog dung. 1-800-449-8686. Attention, that doesn't sound Christian to me. World famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
That ain't cucumber dressing.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But the anger that you have, back with Margaret Gray, who is angry. I can well imagine a lot of Americans are angry that you can't see a Christmas manger scene in a public square any longer, and the children can't sing Christmas songs in public schools. And I can hear you in the tub there.
Well, you know something, Phil? I got off a very long plane ride, and the first thing I said to my husband was, "I've got to relax because I am so utterly disgusted." The people that are keeping us from celebrating Christmas in our public places
I really think the best part of them, I can't say this like a lady.
Well, if you can't, you know, Margaret.
No, but I think the best part of them wound up someplace other than where it should have, if you know what I mean. And I think you know what I mean. As in, somebody had to do some laundry. Because
I mean, this is what I'm saying. You have a terribly strong...
Well, I am... these people are lower than the stains you find in a convalescent home bed. And I think you know what I mean. These are individuals who want to strip our Christian heritage from us. They are what you find in a baby's diaper.
And all right, I get the message that you don't like them.
I don't like them, so millions of Americans don't like them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on the line. We're going to take some phone calls, Margaret, from people who are... some of the people are Christians who don't agree with you.
Oh, well, that's going to be an interesting phone call to listen to.
Well, I got on the line here, Carol. Carol?
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
I just want to say that if this woman thinks that she's practicing what she preaches, she's sorely mistaken. Because according to the Bible, Jesus... Well, let me make a point here before you cut me off and call me a piece of crap.
No, I'm not going to call you
anything. I want you to understand that if you're going to practice what you're preaching, then you need to reread your Bible and understand what Jesus' purpose was in the first place. Because he preaches good for all, faith for all, and kindness to everyone, regardless of race, creed, color, whatever. And it goes right along with the Constitution, which I'm sure you've probably never read either.
I beg your pardon. I'm a journalist.
According to your opinion, your intelligence quotient is about as low as George Bush's.
Excuse me. I am a culturally educated woman as well as politically, and I know what the real culture of this country is. And the people that are keeping Christmas away from our children, what's worse? The average public school teacher that won't let a child sing a Christmas carol, or a child pornographer. Which is worse?
Oh, come on!
Oh, you know what? You cannot compare child pornographers to
there's no difference at all.
Children in school.
Wait a second.
Obviously, you would you strip me? Would you think any less of me if I told you that I was a person of color?
Of course not.
You're telling me that because I'm a...
Language, ma'am.
You would think that I'm a piece of potty because I believe a different Bible than you do.
All I'm saying is you are the one that is...
People you don't allow religious symbolism in public places, pieces of dung.
All right, hold on. Margaret?
These people are the ones that are keeping us from celebrating. I'm not keeping Carol from doing anything. And yet she would keep me from practicing my religion. I don't know Carol. I think she sounds like a wonderful woman. But in keeping a child from singing a Christmas carol at a beautiful time of year makes you no more than pus in a zit on the ass.
All right. Can we please?
I honestly believe that if you were to practice what you preach, then you would honestly understand
right.
that people are not keeping us from practicing the religion that we choose.
You can do it in your home,
if you
want
to practice what you preach and you want to teach your children Christian values, then don't expect the schools to do it because it's not the
right.
school's
job. It's not
job.
The school's job. It
the
is constitutionally...
Is,
well, I
exactly.
think the two of you, Phil, why don't you admit that you're atheists? Because...
I'm not an atheist.
I refuse to admit that I'm something that I am not.
So in other words,
you need to reconsider your Christian values and maybe reread your Bible a few times before you should speak again.
All right, Carol, but when you keep a child...
It's obvious to me that your mouth is full of the potty here, not mine.
No. I'm not keeping anyone from practicing their religion. And
you
when
are,
you say,
by
no,
just
I'm
your
not.
Comment,
oh my
the
God,
fact
no,
that
I'm
you
not.
Are calling people who don't practice the same religion as you people
I'm saying,
done,
why can't
or
we have our Christian religion there? And I'd like to be heard here, Mr. Henry. The woman is butting in.
All right, but she wants to be... Thank you very much, Carol. What?
Phil, a teacher that would tell a child, no, you may not sing Silent Night, what's the difference between her and the man who had the job of turning on the gas in the ovens at Auschwitz? Because...
Come on! These kinds of comparisons...
I feel very strongly that there's no difference between the two.
A guy that turned on the gas ovens at Auschwitz is the same...
Absolutely.
...as a teacher that would tell a child not to sing a song.
Well, you're murdering the spirit of that child. You are putting that child's spirit into a spiritual gas chamber, and you are dropping spiritual Cyclone B gas. onto that child's soul. And I think the time has come. I know a lot of Americans agree with me. I really do. I really do.
I hope the tub's calming you down.
It's very relaxing, it is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Heidi. Hello, Heidi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
Margaret, you are making me so sad. If you are what the Christians are of today, I know now why I am agnostic, why I do not believe in religion.
There's no such thing as an agnostic, really, though.
Oh, certainly there is. The Gnostics were the ones who were around before the Christians were around. But the
point is, because your puppy got run over by a truck, and so you got angry at God at some point in your life.
No, I am not angry at God. That's where you're wrong. Gnostics believe there are gods. You're totally wrong.
No,
you're doing is you're making people hate the Christian religion. And who are you to take that spirit away from
children? They already hate us. They already hate us by not letting us practice our religion.
No, nobody hates you, but they hate your actions, and your actions are terribly hateful.
Oh, I'm hateful. I'm not the one keeping a child from singing Christmas Carol. Got you there.
Everybody can sing a Christian.
You can't sing a Christmas Carol in a public school. And what's the difference between not letting a child do that and just tying a child to a tree and whipping the flesh off of his back?
Oh, there's so much. There's so much difference. Yes, there is.
None. I can't see any difference.
Margaret, what you are doing by letting people hear the Christian songs in church is you're taking away other people's religions. Buddhist,
what are you talking about? I'm not keeping anyone from singing their songs. Are you kidding? Why can't a child sing a Christian song and the other child can sing a Jewish song? And another child can sing a Muslim song?
No, they're not allowed to in the school.
Yes, because of people like you.
No, not because of people like me.
Yes, because you
want... I don't care who sings what.
You want to turn the gas on. You want to turn the gas on the souls of these children.
You are a very, very sad person.
I am.
You are the reason why we are hated in America.
You... Agnostics are hated. I thought you said you're agnostic. What do you mean we?
You are the reason why Americans are hated.
In America?
The way that you speak. The American people.
No, the American people, Christians are loved around the world. People like you are
really?
Hated. Yes.
People like you are hated. Tell the Iraqis that.
The Iraqis love the Christians. They don't like you.
No,
and
they don't.
Yes, when you have your hand on a gas that will drop Cyclon B on a child's soul.
You truly need help.
Not
you
letting these children
sick,
sing these songs is like waking a child up on their birthday and telling them that mommy and daddy are dead.
Really? Wow. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray, who is sick and tired of not letting the children sing Christmas carols or celebrate Christmas in school. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray joins us on the Phil Hendry Show here to talk about the lack of religious celebration at this time of year in public schools. And you say that there's going to be a backlash. You say that there's going to be an enormous backlash of people who are Christians who have their kids in public schools, and that it's going to be a significant one.
Well, Phil, let me tell you why. Because not every Christian can afford to send their children to a Christian school. Many people are having to send their children to public schools, and they want some form of religious celebration. I'm not saying Jewish families can't do the same thing. But still in all, knowing all of that, you still have these people, and we've spoken to a few of them on the show tonight, who would keep a child from dressing up as a shepherd one lousy day a year and being in a manger pageant or being in a Christmas celebration. And these individuals, Phil, are the same kinds of people that opened up the trapdoor in the gallows when they hung children in Nazi Germany.
Come on! All of these...
Why do you keep cutting me off?
Because these comparisons you're making.
Well, you may find that...
You're saying they're no better than child pornographers.
No better at all than child pornographers. Not letting these children sing a Christmas song is like taking a boatload of food to Africa and eating it in front of a bunch of starving black people. The people you've heard from tonight would do that. They would do that.
Because they don't want to have religion in schools.
Exactly, because they won't have religion in school. And because, oh, yes, Mr. Himmler, may I help you turn the gas on? I'm disappointed in you.
I think you are being over the top to an annoying and obscene extreme to say that people who argue constitutional separation of church and state are somehow Nazis. And that's what you're saying.
Am I? Well, if I am, then so be it. Could you give me some of the Calgon bath beads?
And you're taking a bath right now, ma'am? And I find that just a little bit rude.
Why is that?
Because I'm doing a radio show, and you find it so, I guess, casual that you can sit here and bathe. You know,
Phil, I did 300 hours of reporting over the last 2 weeks. I barely got any sleep at all. I have been writing. I am trying to relax. You wanted me on your program to comment on this. I'm giving you my opinion, all right? Now, if you love child porn, then you'll love to keep children from having a Christmas pageant.
And I think that's obscene.
That's your opinion. I want the Calgon bath beads.
All right, let me talk to Andrea. Andrea, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes,
I just want to say that, Margaret, you are a complete embarrassment to all Christians around the world.
If anyone
would hear what you were saying believe that this is the Christian way of living, we are in bad shape. I believe that we should have religion in the school, but the Bible also says you obey the law of the land. If the law of the land says separation of church and state is what we have to do, then that's what we have to do. It's not hurting anyone to do it. You can practice what you want to practice at home. Charity begins at home. I don't see why it's such a big deal if someone wants to put a manger, hang up a tree, or sing a song.
That's my point,
they can
exactly.
do all of these things.
That's my
they
point.
They can do all of these things at home.
Darling, you have a delightful accent. Where are you from?
Practice begins at home. I'm a New Yorker.
Oh, it's delightful.
I'm a New Yorker,
it's
and I
delightful.
Live in Queens. I live in Queens, and I live in Flushing, Queens, where there are different kinds of people all around 24/7.
Darling.
And I don't care if one hangs out their Jewish stuff, or their Christian, their Muslim. It doesn't matter. We're all here. We're all going to live in this land. If someone was to hear the way you were speaking and think this is the Christian way of living, we are in bad shape.
Well, look,
and I
agree I
with
say
that
something.
Now.
I want
you
to
are very
something.
Rude.
No,
you're
look,
in
I
the bathroom taking a shower while you're doing an interview. How rude is that?
I'm taking a bath, and
if I was the owner of the show, I would have told you we don't need you on our show.
Hold on. Let me just jump in here. What was your comment on that, Margaret? And it is a little bit rude, as I mentioned.
Phil, I told you, I have had 300 solid hours of work over the last 2 weeks. I am exhausted.
All right,
you and how many other people?
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. You said some things. First of all, you're a New Yorker, and New Yorkers are they're very educated people. I want you to tell me how it is you came to believe in whipping slaves.
I mean, I am African American. I am a professor
right. and why would you
at Fairfield
want,
University.
Why would you want to whip the skin off of a slave's
no
back?
Sense.
Why do you
no
think she wants to whip the
slave? You make.
Because if
no
she,
sense.
If she,
your analogies
if she doesn't believe
are very bad.
That children should be
know.
Allowed to sing songs, then she believes in whipping the skin off of her ancestors' backs.
You are. Oh, your analogies
on.
Are horrible.
Come on.
Now, your analogies are really bad.
Now, what school do you?
You're of no merit.
What school? What school do you teach at, Andrea?
Fairfield University. She has absolutely no merit.
Do you believe that it is funny to take the teeth away from elderly people on prime rib night? If you do, then you think it's great. Look at her laughing. Oh, my
this
God.
This is ridiculous.
No, you're really...
No, this is really ridiculous. If I was the producer of the show, I would tell you we don't need your services. We don't need you to do an interview. Because
oh,
people
no.
like you...
Well, get
when
you.
You
now
think
you're a radio
the way
producer.
You think, this is really bad. This is really bad.
You know, I think it's really interesting.
And I'm really upset that people around the world is hearing you. I'm really upset.
You know what? This is interesting. Now you're a radio producer. You just know how to do everything. These people would take candy from a baby, dip it in horse manure, and shove it into the child's mouth.
And what are you doing right now?
Oh, come on. What are you doing right now?
Where are you going?
I'm having a bath, and I'm trying to get my husband's attention. Can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness. Look,
it's Andrea.
It's ridiculous.
Would you take crutches away from a cripple? Yes.
This is ridiculous.
Would you then tell them to come to dinner while they lay there drooling like lumps of dew? Yes. That you would.
Will you get out of here with your bathtub? Andrea, thank you for your call, and I appreciate you calling us tonight from New York.
This is just a shame.
Well,
as Christians around the world are hearing this, people, who would want to be a Christian? Listen to how she's speaking. Who would want to be a Christian?
Is her line still open?
I'm here.
Well, would you please stop splashing?
Well, Andrea didn't want to hear me, so I'm going to splash while she talks.
I think she's gone.
Are you there? Good.
All right, let me go over to Mary. Mary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Mary?
Oh, hello.
Hi. Go ahead, man. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, I am a strong Christian, and I just have to tell her that I strongly disagree with her.
Will you stop splashing, please?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get...
Go ahead.
I just want to let her know that, you know, as a child, I was forced to eat spinach all the time, and to this day, I don't eat spinach. You force Christianity down the throats of these children. They're going to reject it when they're older. If you really want to bring people to the faith, you have to let them come to it on their own time.
Mary, no child dislikes Christmas. You don't have to shove Christmas down a child's throat. To ask them to sing a Christmas carol is something they welcome, and yet the teachers of public schools and administrators of public schools won't allow that. These people are nothing more than pimples on a fat man's rear end.
Okay, your rhetoric.
Oh, my God.
Stop. Yeah.
You know, it's really...
What's wrong with what I'm saying? They're keeping children from singing fa-la-la-la-la and all of that.
Well, they have their homes, they have their churches, they have their free time. They have 2 weeks of Christmas break where they can fa-la-la-la-la all they want.
You know, Mary, are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Let's join together. I would love to. Let's sing with me in a good spirit. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Can't you sing that?
Yes, I can sing that.
I mean, not letting a child sing a Christmas song is like handing a urine test to a thirsty man and telling him it's lemonade. And I believe that...
Why are you saying this stuff?
God.
Well, what do you find so amusing about children not being able to celebrate? I don't understand.
You obviously missed that point because I wasn't finding the children amusing. I was finding your obscene rhetoric and talk that was so outrageous.
That is obscene? Oh, my God. And it's not obscene to keep a child from having a Christmas pageant. That's not obscene. I'm the one who is here defending children, and I'm being called obscene.
Are you defending the Jewish children and the Muslim children and the pagan children and the agnostic children and the atheist children?
I happen to be... I would love for all of them to celebrate their religion. I just happen to be Christian. That's why I'm saying, why can't my children? But I would love for all of us to. You sing Rudolph, and I'll add in the extras, all right? Go ahead, start.
I'll pass this time.
She doesn't want to do it.
You see, this is what... And it proves my point. Even on a radio show that is a privately run concern, she's afraid to sing a Christmas song because she had it beaten out of her as a child.
You know what? As a child, I sang Christmas carols at my public school.
And yet you're afraid to do it now.
Yeah, why? That's just because I don't feel like singing right now, but that does not have anything to do
you know,
with
Mary,
your
you know,
point, which
you know,
is outrageous.
Mary, you know what you sound like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You sound
I can't hear you over your splashing. I,
yeah,
really
I said, do you
thing.
Know what you sound like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You sound like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube, though. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you, Mary, with their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars, when all you could think of was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
That's not a memorized. Okay. Anyways, you know your Bible stories, obviously, I would assume so. But the point in, you know, the story of the road to Emmaus, where Jesus was walking with Luke and Cleopas, he was walking with them, and they had to beg him to come with them. The point of that is it should be voluntary, not something that Jesus was not forcing himself on anybody.
I'm sorry. I got to tell you something. My husband, I asked him to do a simple thing like get me the Calgon bath beads. He didn't do it. So I turned the oxygen off on his tank. He has emphysema. All right.
Excuse me?
I said, my husband has emphysema, so I turn his oxygen off sometimes to teach him a lesson.
I don't think anybody who's trying to prevent, these things in schools are trying to teach children a lesson.
You're afraid because it's just like handing a lump of doo to a retard and saying, take a bite, it's a seized candy.
I don't appreciate your...
I do not either. I don't like it.
Then why won't this girl sing a Christmas carol? Because she's had it pounded out of her. Pounded and pounded.
Excuse me, you know what?
And
you don't know who... I just came back from church this
Frosty
evening.
Frosty the Snowman was a hatchy lot jolly. Can you do that? Frosty the Snowman? No, you can't. Why?
I would
because
think somebody so concerned about religious songs would pick something other than Rudolph and Frosty. But, you know, that's just my opinion there.
You know, you're very opinionated. And I wish
oh,
you were
yes, here. Yes, I am. That's very true.
You know something? I'm sorry to say this, Mary, but you've got me so angry that if you were here, I'd hold you underwater. I would.
And who is the one so concerned about the compassion towards...
Exactly.
I just feel compelled to hold her underwater till she turns purple.
Oh, that's not
and the last
favorite.
Thing you
that's
see is
great.
My big fat thigh.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, turns you on, doesn't it?
No. Okay, look, Mary, great points. Thank you. Ms. Gray, you're way out of line.
Oh, God, you people are sick. Here. You know what? I'd love it. I'd love to attach electrodes to you if you were in the tub. Never mind. I said the Calgon bath beads, Frank, or the oxygen gets turned off again. All right, Bill, one, two, and one, two.
I don't want to hear this.
Well, I think it's only fitting that I be allowed to sing a little Christmas song. Frosty the Snowman was a happy, jolly guy. And he was made of snow and he lived out front where the kids built him up high. Frosty the Snowman was a snowman out in the yard. And he...
Do you even know the words to this?
No.
No.
So if you keep kids from singing Christmas carols this time of year, you're nothing more than a guy giving a retard a lump of dew and saying, here, it's a See's candy. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray. That available, by the way, on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell coming up.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Steve Bozell is coming up with a lawsuit against the next door neighbor about a joke that Steve thought he was playing on his friend, but it turned out to be somebody else. And tomorrow night on the Phil Hendry Show, it's our all-request show. If there are bits from our show's past that you'd like to hear again, all you have to do is call us during the 3 hours of our show tomorrow night at 1-800-449-8686, and we'll try and get your requests on. And that will be tomorrow evening, and then on to Christmas, man. Christmas time is here again. Just bought myself a piece, I bought my wife a piece of jewelry. And, which is what I do every Christmas, I buy her I shouldn't be saying this, she might hear me. But every Christmas I buy her a piece of jewelry, because, you know, it's something, you live long enough, you know one thing. Women, you don't know what to get her? Get her a freaking diamond something, dude, I don't know what. Get her a diamond vacuum cleaner. Get her a studded diamond vacuum. I don't know. Get her anything made out of a diamond. It could be a dishpan. It could be, hair net. It's got diamonds in it. And I went over and I spent probably more than I can afford. And got her this really nice necklace, you know.
Did you go to the jewelry exchange in Tustin?
No, I didn't go to the jewelry exchange in Tustin. No, I didn't, bud.
Why not? They got 9-carat diamonds down there for $800.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that. 9-carat diamond for $800, bud. What do you think you're getting?
What do you mean, what do you think I'm getting?
What do you think you're... If the guy says he's going to sell you a 9-carat diamond or an 8-carat diamond for like $2,000, what do you think you're getting?
That's a lot of money. Are you crazy or something? Yeah, you don't understand.
I don't understand. Bud, a really good diamond per carat is probably in the neighborhood of 10, 11 grand a freaking... Well, maybe not 10, 11 grand a carat, but I mean, really good carat of diamonds, you know, it's going to be a lot of money.
A carat.
Do you know what a carat is? And don't you tell me it's what Bugs Bunny eats, man, because I swear to God.
No, it's a measurement of weight.
Yes. Now, a lot of these diamonds that are being sold out there are really dirty, nasty, occluded, what they call... I mean, they're only diamonds in their chemical composition. I mean, they use them for used to use them for stereo needles. I don't know what they use them for now. Glass cutting. Now, about 20 years ago, there was a large diamond strike in Australia.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the market started getting flooded with all of these diamonds because the diamond strike in Australia, which they thought was going to be huge, turned out to be a bust. Most of the diamonds they pulled out of the strike in Australia were low-grade diamonds. Only the really good-quality diamonds, you know, that you want to buy, there's very little of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That means all this crap started getting flooded onto the market. And I ain't saying that the jewelry exchange in Tustin's got that stuff, but there's a good chance if you see anybody telling you that there's a diamond for sale, you know, like 5 carats for $1,000, I mean, and this is something for women to know. If a guy gives you a diamond ring, and he says it's 5 carats and it cost him like a G, it's probably crap. I hate to say it.
Boy, thanks a lot, man. You make a lot of guys out there feel really great. Man trying to do a thing for his woman. I'm going to make my own diamond. I took a piece of coal from the barbecue and I sit on it every day.
What do you mean you sit on it?
So it'll turn into a diamond.
That's charcoal, jackass. It ain't the same thing.
Doesn't coal with pressure be a diamond?
A piece of coal with billions of years of pressure, yes. Not you sitting on it on a school bus.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Bozell, tell me, does Mr. Hutchins work for the ranch there?
He is a volunteer there. Mr. Hutchins works for the volunteers for Carmelo Valley Boys and Girls Ranch, which is an area charity that we help out with, yes, sir. And
you guys take turns as a Santa Claus at a holiday party?
Yes, they're homeless kids. And
I think that's a very admirable thing.
Well, we started helping the Carmelo Valley Ranch because when I was a kid, my mother had just left me one day in a grocery store, and we was in there getting our groceries, and a grocery man found me and took me back to my mom, who was checking out, and I never forgot the feeling of being almost orphaned when your parents don't care about you and just leave. And I was there near some magazines I was looking at, and I didn't know where she was, and I've always kind of stayed with me, that's all. And so help me, it's unfortunate. This time of year, I've got to bring litigation against a man that I thought was a man of integrity, but in fact is disloyal, in my opinion.
All right, now let's not get into characterizing the man you're litigating against, because that could lead to further problems.
Well, that is true, but my attorney's reminded me of that, and I got to remember not to say anything that will get me countersued. But
well, you're suing him for causing, according to your attorney, they quote, a laxative effect on your emotions, and for reputational assault, as well as unspecified damages growing out of an incident on December the 10th?
That is correct, yes, sir.
At the Carmelo Valley Youth Ranch holiday party. On that day, Mr. Hutchins was in a Santa costume.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And how it works, Phil, is...
And then you guys do this for the kids, right?
Yes, sir. And how it works is for 2 days during the Christmas season, we rotate myself, Mr. Hutchins, and some of the other volunteers. Being Santa Claus and hosting a holiday party for the kids. Understand these are all young people in their pre-adolescent to adolescent years, so we play music, we have food. And Mr. Hutchins informed me that he was going to be at the holiday party on Friday afternoon. He informed me at that time that he was going to be the Santa Claus hosting the party. And I told my attorney all of this. And I told my attorney as well, it was my intention, knowing this, that I wanted to play a trick on him.
All right, now you stated to your attorney that it is the nature of your relationship with this man who is a neighbor, correct?
Yes, sir. His property borders mine on the east.
And the two of you have shared practical jokes. You seem like good friends.
Well, he's been party, actually, Phil, to injurious action of me and my family in the past, but I set that aside.
You aren't good friends?
Well, we are, but we aren't, you know.
All right, so anyway...
Yeah, I went to Carmelo Valley Youth Ranch. I entered the community room, which is next to the dormitory there, and I saw the Christmas party. And I saw an individual in a Santa costume, which I was led to believe was Mr. Hutchins.
Okay, but it was not.
Well, I didn't know that, but I was led to believe by Mr. Hutchins that he was wearing a Santa suit and was hosting the party. And that's when I wanted to play a practical joke on him that I felt was innocent and I was misled.
All right, but the practical joke, Mr. Bozell, has gotten you into a hot water because...
No, it hasn't got me into any hot water because I'm going to name the lady as a party, okay?
Well, you need to tell my listeners what you did. What did you do?
I thought that it was Mr. Hutchins in the suit, and this is something he has done to me many, many times, and I did it to him.
It wasn't him in the suit. What did you do?
I put my hand between his legs from behind, and I squeezed. And
there was a female wearing that suit by the name of Vicki Borden.
Hold on.
No, I want to just tell. There was a female... named Vicki Borden, who is a volunteer at the ranch, and she claims that you not only put your hand between her legs, but you tried to lift her off the ground from that position.
I did not know, and I was led to believe that Mr. Hutchins was in the suit. And
well, men are pretty interesting with each other sometimes. They do more touching of each other's private parts, whether they're gay or straight. But, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold here. But you grabbed this person who you thought was Mr. Hutchins... Correct?
That is correct.
And yet you're doing the suing.
And let me tell you why.
And what are you suing for? And who are you naming in the suit?
I am naming Roy Hutchins. I'm naming Vicki Borden.
What? When you pull a practical joke like that, and you grab somebody from behind between the legs, and you sue them...
Because I explained... I thought she was a guy. Hutchins had told me he was going to be there, and he wasn't. And now I'm in front of all the kids... And this woman has started to confront me and verbally assaulted me to the point where at that time I did have a laxative emotional distress that was a laxative effect.
And what do you mean by a laxative effect on your emotions?
Because I was so embarrassed by Mr. Hutchins misleading me that I had an emotional breakdown.
Well, did you say you ran from the building to your truck?
I did, sir.
And what did you do?
I just sat in my truck and I cried.
What caused you to be so humiliated? I mean, I understand that it was a mistake.
Because all of a sudden it turns around and it's not Hutchins, it's this woman. And
but even walking up to him, are you saying he's done this to you before?
Mr. Hutchins has grabbed me a lot of times between the legs, and he thinks it's funny.
Okay, so you grabbed her thinking it was him, because she's wearing a Santa suit, and the next thing you know, you've got yourself a lawsuit.
I'm suing her. And
well, hasn't she demanded an apology?
Yes, she has, but I'm not going to apologize because it's not my fault. What happened was, Hutchins told me he was going
to... No, we know the story. He said he was going to be in the Santa suit. You thought it was him. You grab her from behind. You lift her off the ground. She turns around.
Yeah, then she turns around, and she verbally assaults me in front of the kids. Calls me inappropriate, says that I am that she's going to get the Mr. Leopold, who's the owner of the ranch. She says she wants to talk to she wants to leave the building and everything. Calling me basically every name in the book, inferring that I'm some kind of a sick animal. And that's when I turned and I felt myself running. I just felt myself running.
And you ran.
I ran.
And you said you ran back to your truck?
I ran back to my truck, and I cried. And that's when some of the kids started throwing dirt clods at the truck and everything, and that's why I said to my attorney, they humiliated me, and...
And your attorney has characterized this as a laxative effect on your emotions because they just came all pouring out.
Yes, she said that it was a loosening of my emotions. And,
You're also suing for emotional distress, lost wages, because you haven't been able to work or eat much, and because they caused you to have... As you say, a diarrhea-like emotional release.
Yes, sir. I'm just relying on my attorney's advice about this. But the bigger picture, Mr. Henry, I think for your listeners, is it just doesn't pay to try to do good for kids. I went all the way out to the youth ranch. I wanted to be a Santa Claus and everything. Hutchins was taking his turn. I thought I'd go out there and have some fun with him. You know, grab him like he grabs me. It turns out it's a girl that I grabbed. And she turns around and starts yelling at me. I ran back to my truck, and the kids come out of there throwing dirt clods at my truck and laughing. So there's no point in helping kids.
Why would you... You know, it seems to me that you...
No, there's no point in helping. Why would I want to help them when they're throwing dirt clods at me?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You've heard the story. It's a twisted. It's... This guy thought he was grabbing a friend of his between the legs, who was in a Santa suit. It turned out it was a female. And she turned around and verbally assaulted him. The kids at the Christmas party apparently started throwing dirt clods at his truck. And he had what he calls an emotional release, a breakdown, a quote, quoting his attorney, Dolores Blazingame, a laxative-like effect on his emotions. He said that he cried, and he is suing Mr. Hutchins for misleading him into thinking he was going to be in the Santa suit. He's suing Vicki Borden, the woman who was actually in the Santa suit. And he is suing as well the Carmella Ranch, which is the Boys and Girls Ranch out there. And he doesn't want to work with kids ever again. This is a human, if you will, tragedy in many respects. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
If Dracula bit you and you were wearing a garlic necklace, would you sue the garlic farmer? You savvy?
The Bill Henry Show is back.
Mr. Stephen Bozell joins me from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, you have been involved in something that's very convoluted here, but you're claiming that Ms. Borden, who was dressed in a Santa Claus suit at this charity event you were at, has caused you not to want to work with kids anymore.
That is true.
But how? You're the one that came up and grabbed her in a sexual way. I know you didn't mean to. Okay, you thought it was somebody else, but...
Well, but see, here's the thing. This is reverse sexual harassment, because I thought it was a friend of mine, and I came up, I thought it was a man in that Santa costume. And you have to understand this. This is very prime, this is the prime, I guess you'd call it the prime, it's the prime rib, or it's, you know, it's the prime sirloin of what I'm trying to say. I thought it was a guy and a friend of mine, so I went and I grabbed him between the legs. Now it's a girl, okay?
You didn't know that.
I didn't know it was a woman. Ms. Borden turns around and utters a profanity and looks at me and kind of asks me what am I doing and sort of made fun of me and everything and was very offended. And the kids are all looking at me. She sexually harassed me in that moment.
But how do you say that, man? And I mean, there's nobody's going to buy that, okay? No judge, no jury.
No, my attorney tells me, and we are bringing a lawsuit, so judge and jury are going to have to hear it, but my attorney tells me that in the moment that she turned around and told me you can't touch me there, it was sexually harassing of me because she thinks that I thought she was a girl, and I didn't, on account of I thought it was a man in the suit. And on top of that, she said it in front of all the kids that I'm trying to help.
All right, maybe she abused you, maybe it was verbal, but how do you figure it's sexual harassment?
It's reverse sexual harassment.
How is that?
Because she sexually harassed me. I didn't sexually harass her.
You didn't sexually harass her because you didn't know that there was a woman in that Santa costume.
Exactly.
But how did she sexually harass you?
Because she made me feel cheap and like she made me feel like I was filthy and a pervert.
Are you all right, sir? I mean, if you want to take a moment.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I understand that she made you feel cheap and she made you feel like a pervert. And that's wrong, and you didn't mean to, okay?
I didn't mean to.
I'm sure you would never grab a woman that way had you known there was a woman in that suit.
That's correct. And now what I need to do is I got to sue her, and I got to sue the living hell out of her. And I will. And I hate to do it because I believe at Christmas time you should be kind to people, but all bets are off. When she read me the riot act, and then the kids come out and started heaving, they started heaving stuff at my truck. That's when I said, well, so I got to sue her, and I got to sue her good. And it's too bad because she's a single mother. But what can I do?
You can let it drop.
I can't let, what do you mean let it drop? What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? I got reverse sexually harassed.
You can just let it go, man. She's a single mother, and she's a volunteer at a charity like you are. And you walked up and grabbed her.
Yeah, but what she shouldn't have done is turned around and said something about it in front of all them kids.
Well, when should she have said something about it?
I don't know, but she should have just wrote it out.
Look at, dude, how does a woman ride it out when a guy comes up from behind, grabs her between the legs, and tries to lift her off the ground, thinking it's a guy in the Santa suit, and it's not, it's a woman, okay? How does she just ride that out?
Just consider the source, that's all, but... Now she's getting herself sued, and she humiliated me, causing a laxative effect on my emotions, according to my attorney. And now I'm all worried about it. How, you know, I don't want to work with kids no more. I've even got a thing now, I don't even want to be around Mexican kids, because those are the ones that were laughing at me. So she's made me into a racist. She's made me hate kids. She's reverse sexually harassed me, and on top of that, I've had to go back to AA meetings because I am an alcoholic and I wanted to go and have a drink so bad after that happened. So she did all of that, and all I did was grab her between the legs, not even know it was a girl.
You could let this go, man, and you could save yourself the possibility of going out and having a drink. You could.
I can't let it go because she made me look like a fool.
A lot of this has to do with this neighbor of yours that I know you guys have been litigious in the past. I know that there have been lawsuits in the past. And a lot of this has to do with this guy Hutchins, because you're on the record as having sued him several times, right?
That is correct. But this guy is the guy that told me he was going to be Santa Claus, and he lied to me. Oh, God, did he lie.
All right, I want to take a phone call here, Mr. Hutchins, Mr. Bozell. I'm sorry to call you Mr. Hutchins.
Well, see, that's... I don't know if you did that on purpose or if that was...
It was a slip-up, sir.
I would ask you to be careful because the man...
I understand that, but we got to take some phone calls here from listeners. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead.
I forget what your name is, but I'm going to tell you what.
Stephen Bozell, sir.
You're telling me you're out there with kids. You're out there to help the kids.
Yes, sir.
My question to you is, why the hell are you grabbing this man on the crotch in front of a bunch of kids? And the fact that he said he was going to be Santa, that makes no difference. Why would you do that in front of a bunch of kids?
Well, because he's done that because he caused it.
But that's the wrong place to do it, in front of a bunch of kids. If you're out there at this ranch to help kids,
well,
and you're grabbing Santa on the crutch, you're
behind.
In the wrong.
I did it from behind. No one could see
it. It doesn't make any difference. You're in front of the kids. You got embarrassed in front of the kids. You ought to be for doing that to Santa.
Kids, well, a lot of them were teenagers, and they know
what difference does it make what their age is?
So you're,
the fact of the matter is, you're grabbing Santa's crutch in front of a bunch of kids that you claim you're trying to help.
Well, that's
What kind of objective lesson is that?
Hey. This guy, he'd grab me in the crotch.
Where? In front of a bunch of kids?
All over the place.
Yeah, It doesn't make any difference. You're out there with kids. That's the point. You're saying I'm here to help the kids. I'm doing these things for the kids. And, gee, I didn't know he was in the suit. Come on, give me a break.
I didn't know there was a woman in the suit.
It doesn't make any difference. You shouldn't be grabbing Santa in the crotch in front of a bunch of kids regardless.
Well, that ain't what the lawsuit's about. You should read the lawsuit.
The lawsuit is about what?
The lawsuit is filed in Superior Court, Riverside County, and what basically says is I was humiliated to the point where the kids were heaving dirt clods and everything at me.
Why wouldn't they? Why shouldn't they?
Why shouldn't they?
You're out there grabbing Santa in the crotch in front of them?
Look, it ain't about that. It's that it was a girl. I would never have done it had I known there was a woman in the suit. That's what I'm saying, see? So Hutchins lied to me.
Why did he lie to you?
He said he was going to be in the Santa Claus suit. He was not there that day. He lied. And
How do you know he did that by on chance?
Well, because as Mr. Henry indicated there, this man is, I've got a long history of this man making me look like a fool in front of a lot of people.
Then what'd you go out there for, then? If you've got a long history of that, shame on you for repeating yourself.
You know, Mr. Henry, I don't want to ask a question of you at this time.
Go ahead.
How come the caller gets to keep disagreeing with me? I don't understand.
Because that's his opinion.
Well, he doesn't know what I know.
Well, he's asking you, and he's making a good point. Why are you grabbing Santa Claus in front of kid?
I did it from behind, so the only thing the kids would see would be a little bit of my fingertips. That's all. They wouldn't know what was going on.
Well, what happens when you're lifting her up off the ground?
I didn't know it was a her.
All right, it was a him. You grab Santa by the crotch and lift him up off the ground.
See, that's just, there's no objectivity in the media anymore.
All right.
What's the objective? What objective?
You won't hear my side. All you guys want to do is just take, forget it.
All right, Bill, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Did you hear what the guy said? Grabbing Santa Claus in the...
Yeah, I heard him. Okay? I should not have done it. I understand I said I should not never not have done it, but I did do it. I'm so very deeply ashamed of that, okay? But that doesn't give them the right to turn around, chase me after my trucks. I'm weeping. I'm emotionally... I have diarrhea of the emotions. And
what is this diarrhea of the emotions, man? Is this your lawyer? The language she uses here, Ms. Borden's reaction to my client caused a laxative effect on his emotional structure. It sounds like you're having a bowel movement, man. You know what I'm saying?
And okay, you know what? Thank you very much, sir, and you can go straight there.
Did he hang up? I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to laugh at the man, but this attorney has filed a lawsuit that is ripe with language that is unbelievable. Mr. Bozell, if you hang up on me, you can't call back.
I just want to tell you that when I win this lawsuit, and the language, and emotional diarrhea becomes a key legal term, never mind.
Yes, it was that day that the term emotional diarrhea came into the lexicon. Mr. Stephen Bozell did it for us. Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst, coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And then come back. I say I'm back on the air now.
So?
You don't hang up on me and then expect me to put you back on the air.
You made fun of me and you were laughing about it and everything.
Yeah, I'm laughing about it, man. Diarrhea of the emotions? To me, Mr. Bozell...
That's the language of an attorney. I don't know, okay? All I know is that woman, when I grabbed her between the legs, she turned around and everything.
Yeah, she turned around, dude. She's going to turn around. She's going to look at you, and she's going to be upset by that, being grabbed between the legs.
I didn't know it was a woman. I thought it was Roy Hutchins, and I was trying to get him back for all the times he squeezed me down there.
God, what is this trip you get? How old are you guys, anyway?
That's got nothing to do with it, Mr. Henry. I don't want to get into a discussion of maturity. You know, men do what men do. And
yeah, you know what? I haven't done that kind of stuff with friends of mine since I was in my 20s, at least. Grabbing a guy between his legs?
Well... I guess you don't... Are you in a construction business?
I used to be. Yeah, back in the when I was in my 20s.
Well, I still am.
So that's the thing in the construction business? You guys grab each other?
A lot of us do, yeah. It's just a joke. It's just a thing that we do out on a work site.
All right, let me go to another phone call here. I got Jesse. Hi, Jesse. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell. Go ahead.
Sir, I'm just... I've been listening to you, and I can tell you're very emotional right now. But one thing I think you failed to realize is that you have not taken accountability at all for your actions.
What did I do?
Well,
what did you,
you
do?
You grabbed someone between the leg. I mean, between the legs. And, I mean, there's always choices and accountability. You made a choice to grab someone, and accountability was it wasn't the wrong person. You need to take accountability for your actions.
Oh, that's a good point. See,
and
how do you know it's the wrong? She had on a beard and everything.
But, sir... you need to take accountability for your emotions, too. If someone chooses to cuss you out, you have a choice. You have a choice to, one, get mad and cry, or you have a choice, two, to say, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was you, and explain yourself, because that person is making the choice to get mad at you. everyone chooses their own choices. You cannot blame on getting mad on anyone else. You choose to feel the way you feel.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Have you been down to see one of them, like, marriage family counselors? Because you talked like one that my wife and I went to one time. She talked about you got to choose. Boy, I thought she was talking about Jews for a minute, you know, and I made a joke, and she was Jewish, and that was a whole other thing.
So you chose to make the joke, and she chose who, I mean, all right.
Driving me nuts.
What I'm trying to get to is, you made a choice. Everyone has a choice. I have a choice to go punch my husband, and he has a choice to, you know, get mad at me or whatever. But the thing is, I'm not going to turn around and say, I'm not going to say to him, you made me feel mad and made me punch you. That's ridiculous.
You don't listen to them Tony Robbins tapes, do you?
What has this got to do with anything?
Well, stop talking about choice, choose, you know.
I'm saying this is
sirloin choice, you know. And
are you hearing what the lady
is? My point is that you're saying that she is making you feel this way. People are making you have an emotional breakdown. They're making you want to have a drink. I don't think so. You're making yourself feel that way because this is the way you are dealing with it.
Well, that's not what my attorney told me, so I don't know.
Well, are you really going to listen to your attorney? Do you really think they just want to win a case, or do you really think that's the smartest thing to do? Go get a second opinion. That does not sound reasonable.
The Lord's blessing game is a groundbreaking.
Well, does that sound logical? Does that sound logical? Any time someone makes us mad, we're going to go sue them?
Well, think about it. Dolores Blazing Game is one of the most groundbreaking attorneys. She has developed the concept of diary of the emotions.
Well, can you all see that? It just doesn't sound logical. Or you know how many times I would have diarrhea of the emotions when I pulled out and someone chose to flip me off and I'm going to go around and sue them because they're making me have diarrhea of emotions?
No, we're not going to collapse and have an emotional breakdown, but I had a strong flowing of emotion that she said was laxative-like.
Maybe instead of suing someone, if you really had an emotional breakdown, you should be seeing a psychologist or someone to help you.
So let me ask you a question. I got a question for you. What you're saying is the same thing as saying if Roy's dog came up and peed on my leg, it's my fault for feeling wet. God, I mean, how do you?
It'd be your fault if a dog came and peed on your leg to one, get mad and kick it, or two, just be like, I got to go change my pants now. It's the choice that you're going to make.
Wait a minute. Now, you're saying it's my fault because I feel wet from the dog pee.
Well, my point is, I feel frustrated listening to you is because you do not take accountability whatsoever for your, one, actions, and two, for your emotions.
The lady turning around and yelling at me was a pure lax, it was a colon cleanser.
You think that maybe, what?
And see, here's the thing, if I walked across your front lawn and I slipped on a pile of dog dew, you're saying it's my fault because I smell. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is, my point I was trying to get to you is that if someone grabbed me between my legs,
yes, ma'am,
most definitely, I'd probably turn around and be like, the hell are you doing? First, that's what I say to them. You know what I mean?
Well, what if I did that and then I explained to you, ma'am, I thought you were a guy.
And if you said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I thought you were my friend, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed, I'd be like, it's all right, you know, like, I'm embarrassed, too. You know, that's what I would do.
Well, what did you say to the lady, Steve? Let me ask you. Hey, hold on, Jesse. What did you say to the lady when you grabbed her between the legs?
I said, you're supposed to be Roy Hutchins.
Well, that's not...
But it wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed. And then you want to blame her?
You're supposed to be Roy Hutchins.
It's like if I ordered a pizza and said no onions, and then I took a bite, and there was onions, and then I went to kiss you, it's my fault I got stank breath. See? That's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute, you jackball.
Okay, that's the last time you call me a name like that. Goodbye.
Oh, my gosh.
I called him a jackball. What's so bad about that?
Oh, my gosh. He's unbelievable.
Is he a freak?
Say anything, or he might have an emotional meltdown. Watch out. You call him a name, and he might sue you.
Hold on for a minute. Mr. Bozell, you hung up on me once before.
Yeah, but now you two are talking about me behind my back.
No.
What did
you
do?
Oh, my gosh. Are you going to go on and sue me?
What did you
say? Maybe you should grow some balls, maybe the ones you were touching.
So now you're saying that my balls haven't... So now you're saying they haven't dropped. All right, thank you very much.
I don't remember. She doesn't know where to drop, but all right. Oh, my gosh, he's just frustrating.
Well, he's a frustrating kind of a guy.
He needs to be in counseling, for real.
Sir, you can't keep calling me back and hanging up.
Now what are you two talking about? Why don't you stop talking?
Because it's my show.
But I hung up and you continue to talk with this lady.
Oh my gosh, I feel really bad for you.
Like, if you told me you were in the mood for romance, and I said, okay, but you, and I say, you, well, never mind.
What are you talking about, romance? Romance had nothing to do with
it. All right, listen, Jesse, thank you very much for your call, and I'm sorry to have to put you through the insanity.
No, I was just hoping I'd get through to him.
Yeah.
Jesse, it's like if you told me you were in the mood for romance, and I said, okay, but I banged my privates on a doorknob, it's my fault that the door was there?
Sir, we're not talking about banging your privates on a doorknob.
Mr. Bozell, I think you've said enough, sir.
Don't you hang up?
I hung up on him. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay,
good
bye.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye. That cat always outdoes himself. Steve Bozell. It's like it's... Although he did make a good point. Dog pees on his leg. It's his fault for feeling wet. He's right about that. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, in answer to a lot of email we get, if you want shows, you can get shows. We got a 30-day archive. They're there right now. You know, I got an email from a guy today. He says, how can I get, like, whole shows? I said, you could for the 30 days after they were broadcast, but it's like it's over now, baby, if they're older than that. So that'll be on the website. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, Laura Bush wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's funny, I just got a ton of crap from somebody who emailed me about Cortislim, because my Cortislim spots, I use the word fatso. And I say, hey, fatso, why don't you get your act together and get on Cortislim, right? Now, I'm not talking about people who have emotional problems vis-a-vis weight, people who are mentally unstable because of their... You know, Cortislim is not for those kinds of people. If you have, like, morbid obesity... I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. But I certainly wouldn't say that if someone is morbidly obese, you know what I mean by morbidly obese? In other words, the people that are buried in piano cases, cats that got to be lowered into their grave with a cherry picker, cats that got to be lowered into their grave vis-a-vis the Automobile Club of America. I mean, if you have to be taken to your funeral by... a tow company, if you have to be carried on a flatbed truck and not in a hearse, this is morbidly obese.
If you are married to your sister, you're a redneck.
I ain't talking Jeff Foxworthy here, okay? If the side of your house has to get sawed, you know what I'm saying. So, that's not Cortislim, man. So anyway, this person emails, they say, you should have more respect. And I said, whatever, right? And they email back and they go, is this a subordinate answering me or is this you, Mr. Hendry? And I emailed back and I said, yes, this is me, Mr. Hendry. And I said that the fact of the matter is Cortislim isn't for people with mental problems. And so therefore, whatever. And the person emails back saying, well, it shows your character, but Merry Christmas, right? All the while, this person is sending me an unsigned email, right? And she's talking about, and why do I think it was a woman? I just... You know, you can tell, even when someone doesn't sign their name to an email, you know whether a man or a woman wrote it. You just, and I know that a woman wrote this. And so I say, she didn't sign the email, and she's talking about my character, right? So I sent her back an email, and I said, you dirty, filthy old pruned up. No, I didn't say. I said, Merry Christmas to you, and happy Hanukkah to your bosses. So,
you're a racist.
No, I'm not. I'm just screwing around. So anyway, I'm going into a movie theater. No, I know what it was. We were going into the premiere for Team America months ago. I saw a news story relative to this, and I remember because I was going into this Team America premiere over there at the Chinese theater, and the guy says, they screen you now. You have to go through almost like airline-type screening to get into some of these movie theaters now for these major events. And the guy says, you got to surrender your cell phone. I said, what am I going to do with it? Yeah, I don't know, but you can't bring it in there. And they were so helpful. I don't know, but you can't bring it in there. In other words, I got this cell phone. What do you want me to do with it? Eat it? Are you telling me I got to go back to my car and put it in my car? I don't even. My car isn't even here. Well, I don't know. You can't bring it in. I just, we're the security. And all these people there with their little blue suits and their earpieces. Hey, word to the wise, some of you cats that work security for these big events, you look real good in your blue suits with your earpieces. You look just like Secret Service agents. Good for you. Have a little, I don't know what you would call it, a little, personality to go along with it, all right? Because not everybody is coming in there to slaughter everyone, just like Leatherface. No, not everybody's coming in with a freaking chainsaw, man. give yourself a little personality, a little smile. Hey, how you doing? No, not a big problem. These guys that were working at movie premiere, they had a kisser on them, man, like they'd been sucking lemons all day. And I go, what am I going to do with this? I don't know. You just can't bring it in. Finally, there was one really nice guy, big, tall dude. And you could tell the guy had been around, right? He looked like he was probably in his 60s. He looked like he'd been working security since day one. He says, you know what, Mr. Henry, I'm going to be at the party after. I'm going to hold on to it for you myself. You just come and see me. My name is RJ. I said, thank you very much, sir. And boom. So now you know what. Because of this kind of thing that's going on more and more, there are young entrepreneurs out there that are charging to cell phone sit. So like there's some kid out in front of a movie theater, watch your cell phone for $10, and these guys are making a lot of money. Why don't I ever think of these things? Why? Because I'm an idiot. That's why. I'm so stupid. I'm still working for somebody else. Dig that, man. We're always talking about ideas. Now the kids are saying, okay, I'll watch your cell phone for you for $10. They got a big box of cell phones. They sit there. Or it's not $10, like $2. $2 an hour, something like that. They wind up making themselves like $40-$50. Good idea. Entrepreneurial spirit. Me? Ah. Now, you can't take them into federal court. You can't bring them into federal buildings, courthouses, things like that. Any place where there's a metal detector, I guess, you're not allowed to bring a cell phone past that. Not because there's a metal detector, but for some reason, regarding the security, and I don't know what it is. I probably ought to be able to think of it, but I'm just not that smart. Probably has something to do with somebody, I don't know what, calling their bookie. I remember they don't have telephones at racetracks. If you go to a horse racetrack, there's no phone there. Why? Because they didn't want people making book over a telephone at a racetrack. Now, with off-track betting, it doesn't much matter, but had they not legalized off-track betting and the day and age of the cell phone was upon us, do you realize getting into a freaking horse racetrack would take you 9 years because they'd be taking every cell phone? Or just, you better leave it in the car. They'd have to pat everybody down, right? Phones are cool, man. Everybody wants one, and by God, we'll just have to create the conversation. I mean, I said this as I was leaving the house. I said, I never had so much to say in my life until I got a phone, and now I want to talk to everybody about everything. My son wants one now. He's 13. He wants one. He's 15. My daughter wants one. I think he's got one. My daughter wants one. As soon as she gets one, it's going to be solid. Anyway, that was the whole thing with the cell phones, man, like sitting on them, but. Hey, how about a cell phone you can turn on in an airplane? Can I have that? How about a piece of electronic equipment that I can keep on in the airplane and it won't make the plane crash? Every time somebody turns something on when the stewardess says don't or the flight attendant, I say to myself, now it's going to interfere with the communications and we're going to run into another jet. And I want to tell the guy, hey, she said turn your phone off. Here's Charlie there,
Right. I'll be in Boston in 5 hours. No. Just tell them I want to have all the affidavits, and I want to make sure that they're...
She's already said, please turn off your cell phone. I say, turn off the phone, man. We're going to crash. The pilot's going to be up there going, what was that? Right.
Yeah, so anyway, get the affidavits from Boston.
I can't hear you. There's a small plane heading your... One of these days, man, you can fly on whatever that airline is, Chris. What's the airline? They got DirecTV. It's Bishop.
JetBlue, man.
JetBlue, baby. They got DirecTV. Mark, you take it back to New York, don't you? Yeah. JetBlue. And what do they got, like business class size seats, nice seats?
Yeah.
I mean, they ain't, it's all leather, and but you're not squeezed into the freaking thing. What kind of leg room you got? Nice leg room? There you go. I said it. right after 9/11, you know, in the year after, I said, you know, it's been a bad time for the airlines. I understand that, but American Airlines seems to be pulling through fine, and United Airlines was just horrific, and they continue to be, to the point where I won't even fly United anymore. American pulled through pretty good. But some of these airlines, I said, you know, there's going to come a time, man, when you guys are going to get knocked right out. You're going to get knocked right out of the game if you don't pull your act together, because some of these other, a competitor somewhere is going to come along and do it better. You think we don't have a choice? I know you guys say that at the end of the flight. You always say this.
We know you have a choice when it comes to airline travel.
No, we don't. All you cats are the same, man. Not only that, but JetBlue gives you what, bud?
They give you hot blue nuts as a snack.
Great. They give you hot blue nuts as a snack. But at the, you know, I would call that bad luck, bud.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't. Tomorrow night, the Phil Hendry All Request Holiday Show, baby. Check out the great new gifts in our souvenir shop. Grab a Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD. And don't forget, we'll be in Arizona next year, man, doing a CD signing. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.